important, all right," Devlin said. His usual lighthearted, toothy grin was gone. He looked deadly serious. "You've decided to leave the station?" Archer guessed. Devlin's eyes went wide with surprise. "Leave? Why would I leave?" Archer shrugged. "Why not? You must have tucked away a considerable nest egg after all these years. Don't you want to go back Earthside and retire in ease?" Devlin's lean face twisted into a scowl. "Earthside? Back to that zoo? It's home, isn't it?" "Do you think of it as your home?" Devlin asked, some of his old smirk returning. That stopped Archer. He hadn't been back to Earth for nearly 10 years, he realized, and that was just for a brief scientific conference. Both his children lived in Selene. When he and Marjorie visited them, they never even thought about hopping across to Earth. "This is home," Devlin said, tapping a fingertip on the stainless steel-top table. "Crikey, the last I saw in Melbourne, the city was half underwater from the bloody greenhouse flooding. But, Grant, I don't remember much of what they pushed down my throat in school, but I remember one line from some long poem they made me read. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. This ain't hell, of course, but Earth ain't heaven either." "He's right," Archer admitted to himself. "This is home." Puzzled, he asked, "Then just what do you want to see me about?" "You don't approve of me, do you?" "Never did." Archer hesitated before replying. "If you mean the extracurricular things you do." Devlin laughed. "Extracurricular? Westfall calls it illegal." "Mrs. Westfall?" "She said she could chuck me in jail if she took a notion to." "Catherine Westfall threatened you?" All traces of a smile gone from his face, Devlin replied. "Why do you think I asked you to meet me here in the kitchen after midnight, instead of in your office during regular hours?" Archer immediately understood. "So she won't know that we've talked together." Devlin gave him a sly grin. "Right. That lady's got spies all over the station. She knows just about everything that goes on around here." Archer realized that he had suspected something like that, but apparently Westfall's tentacles were more deeply entwined in the station's operations than he had thought. "And she's putting pressure on you?" he asked. Devlin said, "She's squeezing me, Grant. Squeezing me hard." "What does she want?" "Nanomachines." Archer felt as if an electric shock jolted through him. "What on earth does she want nanomachines for? What type of nanos?" With a shrug, Devlin said, "Gobblers, I think you call them." "Good Lord. Yeah, that's what I thought. They're dangerous, aren't they?" "They could be. Extremely dangerous." Very calmly, Devlin said, "If I don't give her what she wants, she'll yank me out of here and send me back Earthside to face a judge and jury." "I won't permit it," Archer said. "I'll protect you, Red." His knowing smirk returned. "Protect me? How? I'm guilty, you know that, Grant. I'm a smuggler. A drug dealer. A sex procurer." "VR Sims," Archer said weakly. "She could pile up enough evidence to land me in jail for lots of years." "But?" "No buts," Devlin said flatly. "She's got me by the short hairs." "Then what do you want to do?" "That's my business, Grant. You don't want to know, and I don't aim to tell you. I've got it figured out, but I don't want you getting in my way." Archer felt his eyebrows knitting in perplexity. "I don't understand, Red." "I'll do what I've got to do," Devlin said. "I'm telling you now, man to man, that I won't do anything to put this station in danger. This is my home, you know. I'm not going to let gobblers loose and turn the whole place into a gray goo." "Then what are you going to do?" "Like I said, you don't want to know. I just want you to rest easy that I don't aim to hurt this station or anybody in it." Archer couldn't think of anything to say. "Devlin's been on Station Gold longer than I have, for the Lord's sake. He knows the ins and outs better than anybody, knows the people here. But can I trust him? Can I let him deal with nanomachines? Gobblers?" Looking at Devlin's taut, rebellious expression, Archer asked himself, "Can I stop him?" Short of locking him up and tipping off Westfall that I know she's trying to use him, can I prevent the Red Devil from doing what he thinks he has to do? Archer knew the answer. "No, I can't." Devlin saw the fear and distrust in Archer's face. "Okay," he said to himself. "I know you don't trust me, Grant. I know you never approved of the things I do. For more than 20 years you've looked down your snoot at me. Now you're going to learn different. Now the shoe's on the other bloody foot." Nanotechnology Laboratory. Franklin Torrey's normally genial expression was lost in a puzzled, almost suspicious stare. "And just what is it you want down here?" he asked Rodney Devlin. Devlin was wearing his usual white cook's t-shirt and baggy pants, immaculately clean this early in the morning. He grinned as he looked from Torrey to his sister standing next to him, and then took a quick scan of the nanotech lab. Small, he thought. More like a kid's playroom than a proper laboratory. The two people facing him were both in white lab smocks. They looked enough alike to be twins. Or clones. Janet Torrey mistook Red's silence. "You do realize this is a nanotechnology lab, don't you?" Devlin nodded briskly. "That's what they told me." "So why are you here?" Franklin asked again. With a careless shrug, Devlin said, "Well, you're new here. I'm sort of like the station's unofficial meter and greeter. I'm sorry I haven't come down to say hello earlier. Been kind of busy, don't you know?" "I don't understand," said Franklin. "Have the folks here been taking good care of you? Is there anything you need?" "Such as?" Janet demanded. Devlin kept his sunny smile in place, although he was thinking that this would be much easier with the guy by himself instead of the two of them together. Shrugging again, Devlin replied, "Oh, stuff the paper pushers can't supply for you. Entertainment vids, maybe, or certain foods." "Lobster," Franklin Torrey exclaimed. Devlin blinked. "Lobster?" "At Cellini, we can have a lobster dinner any time we want," Torrey said. "Aquaculture," Janet explained. "They have big fish farms at Cellini. Shellfish, too. More protein per watt of energy input than meat animals." Scratching his head, Devlin said, "Well, I can requisition some from Cellini. Might take a while, though." "I like lobster," Torrey said. "Anything else?" asked Devlin. "Technical supplies, personal items." He hesitated, then in a slightly lower voice went on, "You're a long way from all your friends. Maybe you need some VR simulations." Janet arched a brow at him. "You mean sex?" Trying to look innocent, Devlin said, "Well, yeah, if that's what you have in mind." Torrey glanced at his sister. The two of them were grinning slyly. "No," he said to Devlin, "we don't need sex sims." For once in his life, Devlin felt embarrassed. "Well, if there's anything you do need, anything at all, you just call on old Red. I can cut through all the regulations the paper shufflers put on you." "Thank you, Red," said Janet. Changing the subject to what he really came for, Devlin said, "So, this is a nanotech lab, eh?" "It's sort of rough and ready," said Torrey, "but yes, this is our nanotechnology laboratory." "We never had one here before," Devlin said, taking in every detail of the room. "You must be here for something special." "That's right," Janet said, "and nothing more." "Aren't nanomachines dangerous?" Devlin asked, all innocent curiosity. "I mean, I've heard stories." "Everything's perfectly secure here," Torrey assured him. "We have all the necessary safeguards in place." Devlin said, "Sign out in the hall said something about UV lights." "That's to protect against any nanos that might get out of the lab," Torrey explained. "Ultraviolet light kills them." "Deactivates them," Janet corrected. "They're machines, not organisms." Torrey nodded at his sister. "So there's nothing at all dangerous in here?" Torrey stepped over to a domed stainless steel chamber sitting on the lab bench. "The only dangerous thing is in here," he said. "When we first construct the nanomachines, they're undifferentiated, not yet specialized for a specific task. If they got loose at that stage, there could be trouble," Janet added. "We'd have to flood this area with high-intensity UV." She pointed to the lights hanging from the ceiling. "Gobblers," Devlin thought. "They're talking about gobblers." But he didn't mention the word to them, didn't want them to get the slightest bit suspicious. "So what happens to him?" tracing a finger along the pipe leading from the domed